Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello, everyone. I'm Kelly Newcomb, founder of Brave Parenting. Welcome to today's show. We're so excited for what we have to talk about. It's not necessarily good, but it is so, so important. We're going to be talking about TikTok and their newly revealed parental controls, which are pretty much just garbage, but we're going to get into that. But before we do, just a couple housekeeping notes. I want to remind everyone that the Managing Media Creating Character Study Guide is available. You can get this on Amazon. You can also get it at our website, braveparenting.net. And I just wanted to clarify and tell you how this study works. The idea is you get the book, which is the new revised and edited, was just released in the fall of 2024. You get the book, and then you also get the study guide. So if you are leading a small group, and maybe it's of couples, the couple can share the book, but I would recommend generally that maybe they get their own study guide because you can journal, reflect, it's a little more personal. But if they want to, they can also share the study guide. The study is designed to be over 8 weeks. It covers 8 chapters of the book, which is what pretty much the core of the book. And those cover the 7 character virtues and then the 8th chapter of maintaining sanity. So chapter 1, which is week 1, covers the virtue of patience. And then chapter 2, week 2, covers the virtue of respect, and so on and so forth. Now, the design of the study is that as a group, as a community, but it could also be done just with you and your spouse. It could be done with your children's grandparents, some neighbors. It could be done in the church or from a group from school. As long as they have and they know that it's biblical, then bring them in. And then this is how it's going to work. You read the chapter, and then there's 5 sections in the study guide. Those are initial reflections, just a couple questions to get you thinking about that character virtue and maybe how it applies to media and technology in your life. And then there's a studying scripture section, which then goes through how scripture really looks at and defines that character virtue. And then there's the video teaching session. Those can all be streamed from our website, braveparenting.net. They're about 15 to 20 minutes long each session. And then there's a listening guide to correspond with that video session. Then afterwards, you have a group discussion. And there is questions in the group discussion. If you get the leader's guide, that has suggested answers and prompts to keep your conversation going during the group discussion. And so that's the only difference that the leader guide is then compared to the regular study guide. Otherwise, the leader guide has all the same content. And then the 5th section of the study that you're going to do every week is a personal reflection. And this one is really important because you're going to reflect on your own witness to your children, how you are using media and technology. And then you're also helping to establish your media standard for your home. This is one of the main goals of the study, is to establish that media standard. So that, and of course, a biblical worldview of media and technology. And so it's great. I would highly recommend it no matter what age your children are. Honestly, if you're pregnant, I would join a group and do it. Don't wait for someone else to start a group. If you think, oh, I really think I might need this, start the group. I really urge you. We all, as the body of Christ of believers, but as also those who maybe aren't involved in church, but that need to know the Lord and need to understand the biblical understanding of media and technology, this is, I believe, a study that can really help establish families with a firm foundation of truth and wisdom and how to approach that to really be the benefit for the children. So no matter what the age of the children are, this study fits. And again, grandparents, they need it too, right? So make sure you get that, get it soon. If you have any questions, reach out to me, but you can get it again on Amazon as well as our website, braveparenting.net/study-guide. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say about that because I really, honestly, if you know me, hate self-promotion, but I do. glory to God. Glory to God. The people who are doing this study already this spring, I've heard so many stories of just amazing fruit and life transformation. So glory to God. Praise to Him. The book was written all through the power of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that. Okay, so now we need to talk about TikTok. So much going on in the cesspool that is TikTok. So first, let me kind of revisit where we left off in January when TikTok was like banned for like 12 hours. And then President Trump stepped in. He signed an executive order granting an extension, right? So that extension was to last 75 days. That puts the new deadline at April 5th, which is quickly approaching, we all know. Now, because the Supreme Court upheld the original law passed by Congress to ban it as a matter of national security, the options are still the same. Either ByteDance, who owns and operates TikTok, which is a Chinese company, either they sell off their U.S. operations to someone here in the U.S., or the app gets banned. We are still sitting at the same exact place as we were before. Now, President Trump has reported that there are, I think, four major groups that they are in talks with that are considering buying it. That ranges from YouTuber Mr. Beast, Microsoft, the founder of Roblox, all these major big tech gurus, because they're the only ones who have the money to do so, because the reported price tag is $20 to $30 billion. So there's that. But it all comes down to whether or not ByteDance is still willing to sell. Because at the time in January, they weren't necessarily willing to sell. And so all of this really just may be futile, because if they don't sell, then it's just going to be banned. And all of this, I think, is just silly, if we're honest. Like, it's just silly nonsense that's taking up news headlines and probably occupying worry and concern unnecessarily for a lot of people. Because either it is a national security risk, in which then the government just needs to do something about it, or it's not. Now, granted, all of us, I don't know very many people who will admit that it's a human threat. It's a threat to humanity, because the addictiveness and the dangers that are innate to that app, the way that it's created to modify human behavior, that is dangerous. That can be objectively pretty much stated, but the government isn't going to do anything about that necessarily, right? We've seen it happen time and time again. They try and step in, maybe try and pass some laws banning kids under 16 or changing it. It's been going on now for a couple of years, and nothing really ever seems to change. So the real answer, you know, solution is parents. It's always parents. You can go back and listen to our episode, you know, is government the answer or is parents the answer? Parents are the answer. We cannot rely on the government to actually do something to benefit our kids. That is our job as the parents. So regardless of whether or not the United States decides to ban TikTok because they believe that China is spying on Americans or not, we as parents still have the job and the responsibility to really not allow this app, with all of the data, and I'm going to go through just a chunk of it that is out there that demonstrates that TikTok does not care, not only about us as Americans, but especially about children. Our children, U.S. children, they do not care. So that brings us to our next piece of TikTok news. And that is the new parental controls that they just revealed this week. So ironically, within just a couple weeks of the new TikTok deadline, new parental controls out there. How ironic, right? Trying to convince parents and the American people that they care. They care deeply. And they're really trying hard to mitigate the risks and concerns to teenagers. So that's what they want you to think. And most media outlets are praising TikTok for just diligently doing this work of addressing these safety issues. But we cannot take these news articles praising them at surface level at all. Again, I've reported on this in the past, and I'm just going to reiterate it again today in just a minute. But TikTok does not care about our teens. And I'm going to show you some documentation as to how we know that. That's not just my subjective opinion. It's pretty objectively out there as public knowledge. But here, let me go first through some of their new safety features. Okay, the first one is the wind down reminder. Maybe you've seen the headlines about this. Now, TikTok users under the age of 16 are going to get a wind down reminder. And what that looks like is calming music is going to take over their For You page, as well as a screen. But guess what? They can just bypass it. They can just say, no thanks, I want to keep scrolling. But the idea is that it reminds them that it's time to wind down, put the phone up, stop scrolling. And the Verge media outlet reported that TikTok plans to incorporate meditation into these wind down reminders in the coming months. Now, parents, if you have not listened to our podcast or you've not read our Brave Parenting Guide to Meditation Apps, it really, as Christian parents especially, it is so, so important to understand how much secular meditation is taking over, or really just the language of how we think about relaxation, how we think about rest, all of this. So you need to go check that out. I'll link it in the show notes. But there is a very big difference between secular meditation and biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is literally meditating on scripture. Secular meditation is often worded as mindfulness. It often includes a lot of affirmations and breathing exercises. So there's a big difference. Now, some of you may be wondering, well, I mean, if you're already on TikTok, isn't secular meditation really the least of your problems? And while that is true, that may be true, I think that when we are truly aiming to disciple our children to know and love the Lord, and maybe we think that, yeah, they're 17, and I think that they can manage maybe some TikTok, and we've talked about time limits, and they're doing really good on it, they still need to know that secular meditation is not of God. That is actually anti-biblical. It is against the things of God. And so your children need to know those things so they can recognize it, lest they be deceived and buy into all of this mindful garbage, which then can lead them, of course, away from the truth. Okay, so now back down to the wind down reminder. Again, big shock, kids can just ignore it. Now, there's really, I don't think, any genuine parental control that's ever been created that actually puts a hard stop on kids doing what they shouldn't be doing. Like, there's always another minute button or a bypass button, or let me type my own password in, or there's always some workaround. And of course, kids find it. Every single safety feature, it seems, can be bypassed or worked around. And kids know it. And you know what? The tech developers, these platforms know it. They know it and they don't care, because a lot of this is just PR. So apparently another prompt will appear. It doesn't say how much longer. I don't know if it's like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, another hour. Maybe it's at 11 p.m. And that one, that is going to be a little bit harder to dismiss. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's going to be harder to dismiss. Harder, but not impossible. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be possible, right? For a kid. Somehow TikTok believes, this is what they stated in their media press release, they believe that this will help teens build balanced digital habits. It's like, really? I mean, like, because I know that you don't actually want teens to use your app less, right? Right now, YouTube is the app that is used the most by teens. 90% of teens are using YouTube. Now, when it comes to TikTok, it is number two. 63% of teens are on TikTok. But what's interesting is that 60% of TikTok users, so of the 63, 60% are using it every single day. The average amount of time, this is reported from a Gallup poll, is about an hour and a half of TikTok a day. Now, the total time for all social media platforms, which of course is dominated by YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram, the total time on average for teens is 4.8 hours. 4.8 hours. I've reported on this before. If you've not heard that stat, to me, it's absolutely shocking. That is a part-time job every day that they are just consuming worldly ideologies and garbage, if you will. But worse than that, the Gallup poll also says that 30% of the teens, 30% of the teens are spending more than 6 hours a day on social media platforms. More than 6 hours a day on social media platforms. Now the time that they spend on social media dwarfs the time that they spend on anything else. So whether it be homework, whether it be hanging out with friends, whether it be chores at work, anything, hobbies, it is dwarfed, obviously, by this gigantic number of almost 5 hours a day. And so the average life of a teen, if you just look at it, it's already massively imbalanced. TikTok says, hey, this wind down feature is going to help create more balanced digital habits. No, it's not. That one little feature is not going to create balanced habits at all. The teen's life is completely off balance. We know it. Every parent who's allowed their kids to have a smartphone with TikTok on it, they know it. They know it. No calming music or meditation prompt is going to create a balanced digital habit. That's an absolute joke. And we're fools to think that that is actually the case. That all that is just PR marketing tactic to make it sound like they care, that they care about kids and they care about their digital habits. If they cared, truly cared about their digital habits, they would make the algorithm less addictive. They would actually put a hard stop fast for kids under age 16 instead of giving them the option to bypass, right? All right, let me talk about another feature, and that is the parental time blocks. TikTok also announced on Tuesday that they're giving parents the ability to block their teen from using TikTok during certain hours of the day, such as dinner time or blocks over the weekend. They are calling this the time away feature. They claim that parents can use this feature and set up a recurring schedule for when they want to block access to the app. And I laugh as I say this because as a parent who's walked through 7 Gen Z kids trying to navigate social media, this is a joke. Do you know how much time it takes to try and set up these parental controls and then the kids mess with them, they get around them, and then you're like constantly trying to do it. And then you know, your schedule changes, and then the kids are asking for more access, and then you feel bad. It's just a cycle that it just never ends. And if you're in it and you're a parent and you've tried it, you know, it sounds really great. I'm all about setting up things that can recur in my schedule so I know what's going to happen every single week. I can look at it and I know what to expect. Yes, I like that as adult, as a parent, but it doesn't work like they say it's going to work, especially when kids can just hit a button and request more time, more access from their parents during those blocks. Again, if you care about kids and you care about parents, put a hard block. If a parent blocks that time, it is just straight blocked, no exceptions, no asking for more, because unfortunately, parents are weak. Parents are weak. I'm sorry. I mean, I have had my own weaknesses as well, but you just give in. You put the hard, fast block on it, you know, hard and fast as it can be, and then the child, you know, schedule changes, they ask for more, and then you cave. That's what happens. All right. The other feature is parents' ability to see who their kids are following and who is following them. And this feature says it grants the ability for parents to see their teens following and followers list through the family pairing features. TikTok stated that this feature will allow parents to help their teens develop digital literacy skills and have ongoing conversations with them about safety. Hogwash. That's what that is. Okay, we all know that's not going to happen, because when you go in and you mess with your kids' followers or who is following them and you want to have conversations about safety and digital literacy, what you're doing is you're going into that space and place that is uniquely theirs, that they, right? Satan has almost like built up in them their work and who is following them. That number matters more to them. That's their social clout. That's their social currency. That is where their worth is built, as tragic as it is. So if you as a parent try and come in and have these great conversations about, you know, oh, well, let's look at this person who you're following, that might not be good. Those are great conversations to have before your child ever steps foot onto a social media platform. And they are good to have ongoing. But to just say that parents are going to like step into their kids' TikTok accounts and then all of a sudden start looking at who they're following and who their followers are, that's absolutely not going to happen. We, as parents who've walked through this, we know that that is almost an impossible task. Once you've opened the door to TikTok, you've opened the door, your children just have this entirely new worldview. Part of it is because they have so much information that they feel like they know more about the world than you do, right? That's already teenagers, but now we've given them, a portal to like so much of the world, even though some of it's news, some of it might be real, but a lot of it we know is just a lot of garbage for entertainment. But they begin to think, number one, information is all I need. This is one of the generational lies that Kathy Cook describes in her book, Screens and Teens, that I talk about a lot, that information is all I need. And they also believe, as a generation who are on TikTok, that I am my own authority. I control the narrative of my life. I control what information I see, even though they don't really, it's the algorithms that do it. And kids also begin to believe that they are the center of their own universe. And so they don't want parents to come into their little universe of followers and who they're following and tread on any of that space. Just spoiler alert, children are not the center of the universe, and we as parents cannot treat them as though they are the center of the universe. That is Jesus Christ alone, who is the creator and sustainer of all things. And if we have misguided our child to think that they are the center of the universe, we definitely need to do our due diligence to bring them back to the truth and remind them that that is Jesus Christ alone who upholds the world by the power of his word. All right, let me continue before I get just off track. The last feature that I wanted to point out is, oh yes, so teens will be able to report a video to their parents if they think that it's violating TikTok's rules. Now, I don't know, maybe I'm too pessimistic, but I think, why? Why would a teen report the video to a parent? Why not just report it to TikTok? Because reporting it to a parent or like sending it to a parent to say, oh, hey, look, this video is violating TikTok's rules or community guidelines. Well, all that does is just show the garbage that is on TikTok that parents are going to be like, oh, wow, this is the kind of stuff that you're seeing. To me as a parent, if I had those reported, I would be probably even more gravely concerned about what my kids were seeing than if it was never sent to me and I just kind of had an ignorance is bliss mindset. So I really don't understand why they're releasing this as a parental feature. No clue. Now, I want to quickly revisit why I do think that all of these new parental control features are just an absolute joke and just PR propaganda that TikTok is putting out there to really feign that they have compassion and that they care about teens. You may remember, we've reported it here before a couple podcasts ago, that there are 14 attorney generals from different states that are suing TikTok because of the damage that has been done to young people. Now, these 14 attorney generals, these states, have done a lot of internal research into TikTok, and they have come forward and exposed through their own documentation what they have found through internal TikTok documentation and communication that they have about how TikTok knows the harm that they are causing children and that they are not doing anything about it, right? So this just proves that all of these parental controls released this week is just a bunch of PR tactics and garbage, really. Now, the After Babel Substack, which is Jonathan Haidt, who wrote The Anxious Generation, his Substack has an amazing article that talks about the dangers of TikTok and all the harms that it's creating. And it has all these quotes from these documents from these 14 attorney generals who are suing TikTok. And it's outlined quite well. I'm going to link it in the show notes. But here's just a couple of the things that they highlight here. In an internal document, TikTok admitted that user research shows that families don't use family pairing. Now remember, family pairing is how you actually activate any and all of these parental controls. Continuing in the quote, it says that family parenting doesn't address parents' top concerns, including inappropriate content, offensive interactions, and lack of privacy, end quote. So that's from an internal document in TikTok, and they're admitting, hey, it doesn't actually address their concerns. We know it. Parents don't use it. Oh, well, they don't care. Now, but here's the funny thing is if you go to TikTok's website, if you type like TikTok parental controls, they're going to bring you to this website that's just beautifully done. And it's just really, honestly, it's good at instilling confidence if you don't know what you're looking at and looking for. You can read all about their safety features and their family pairing features. And they really boast that, oh, you can control the content that's coming into your child's feed based on keyword filters through, again, family pairing and these comment controls. Again, I am sure that this is convincing a lot of parents that, oh, look, not only does TikTok care, look, there's all of these features that I can use if I need to. But then what happens? You all know it. We get busy. We allow TikTok because we think these are here in our back pocket. We never end up using them. TikTok knows it because they don't make it simple. They don't make them easy. And like I had said before, they make them so easy for the teens themselves to get around. They also state this, an internal study found that the leakage rate, which is bad stuff getting through and past moderators, is as follows. Now, I've stated this before, so if you've heard the podcast before, it needs to be reiterated. You know, I almost need to like read this every single week because it's sickening. Okay, 35% of normalization of pedophilia. 33% of minor sexual solicitation content that is getting through, to children, okay? 39% of minor physical abuse content, 30% leading minors off the platform, 50% of the content glorifying minors' sexual assault is getting through, and 100% of the content of fetishizing minors is getting through It's moderators and filters. Okay, then listen to this quote from a TikTok employee. They say, quote, teenagers in the U.S. are a golden audience. If you look at China, the teenage culture doesn't exist. The teens are super busy in school, studying for tests, so they don't have the time and luxury to play social media apps, end quote. Holy cow. Okay, this says so much. Number one, they're acknowledging that, yes, teens in China live a completely different life. Better, worse, whatever you want to say about it, it is a completely different type of lifestyle than what we as Americans have allowed our teenagers to live. Like, they are very much entertained all during these years. And a lot of kids are, of course, going to school. They're studying, but learning is dropping. They don't care about learning nearly as much. And people in China, the parents in China, have not let up on their kids at all. But here's what I really want to point out. Yeah, we know the teens in China, they're super busy studying. But they said they don't have the time luxury, that they don't have the time or luxury to play. Luxury to play social media apps. Like it's a toy. Like it's a game. Like it is just entertainment. We know it's entertainment. We know it has no actual value unless you're, I guess there could be value if you're trying to be an influencer or trying to make money. And yes, we do know some people do that, right? But that's not the story for everyone. But the luxury to play social media apps. And when you think about that in the context of where we are as Americans, especially if you're a Christian parent, you're trying to raise and disciple your kids to know and love the Lord, the luxury to play social media apps should really have no space and place in the context of our Christian walk. That is not how we pursue holiness. That is not what discipleship looks like. Discipleship looks like and following Christ looks like picking up our cross and following him, walking the narrow road. It is not about a luxury of plain social media apps. Okay. It also says that an internal guide on push notifications inside of TikTok explained that a key goal of TikTok's push notifications is to, quote, activate and engage users with the right content at the right time to encourage users to open the app more and stay on longer, end quote. I have said it over and over and over and over again. The goal of TikTok is maximum engagement. That's of every social media app, is maximum engagement. They don't care about you. They care about your attention. They want your attention. That is the economy that drives them because they are driven by money. This just proves it, and they know it. Now, Alexandra Evans, she was a TikTok executive before that. She co-authored a report explaining how coercive design impacts teenagers. Let's listen to what she says. Quote, persuasive design strategies exploit the natural human desire to be social and popular by taking advantage of the individual's fear of not being social and popular in order to extend their online use. Okay. For young people, she goes on, identity requires constant attention, curation, and renewal. At key development stages, it can be overwhelmingly important to be accepted by your peer group. That's exactly it. Like if you didn't know why teenagers, you know, was the main target, why the teens are the ones having the severe mental health crisis. Like, why can an adult be on TikTok for the same amount of hours, if not more, and not have the same mental health crisis? It's because they're exploiting that age and stage of development of teenagers and the human desire, the way that God designed and built them to live and exist here on this earth, to be social. Now, I don't necessarily, you know, the human desire for pride is and popularity is not necessarily good, but we are all fallen. We are sinful, and therefore, yes, we struggle with pride and desire popularity, but they're taking advantage of that. And she literally quotes it. Like, that's what you have to do. You have to take advantage of an individual's fear. You are preying on their fear of not being popular and not being social, which is exactly what we hear all of the time. That's the excuse teens will give their parents. I am not going to have any friends. I'm never going to be able to communicate with anybody if I don't have Snapchat. I'm not going to be able to do this if I don't have Instagram, on and on and on and on. And they have already been targeted. And these social media apps, whether they have them or not, are already preying on their fears of not being popular, the fear of not having any friends, of being left out. And I'm not saying those aren't real fears. They are, especially at that age, but these apps are taking advantage of them. And so we as adults, as parents, as Christians, man, we have such a huge responsibility that God has prepared in advance for us to do, right? This is not just by chance, oh man, I just happen to live in this time and age and space where I have to raise kids to do this. Well, I just don't want to. No, God has prepared for these works for you in advance, right? So you can do it. God has given you the Holy Spirit. You can do this and you have to. That's why you have to stand in the truth and hold fast against how all of these tech companies want to take advantage and lie to your children, preying on their fears. Okay, so that was just some of what's listed in just in one category. That's just the category of the algorithms and whatnot. So the Substack also goes through, and I can't go through all of them, but it covers the harms of depression, anxiety, and body dysmorphia. Also covers self-harm, suicide, porn, violence, drugs. There's another section that's covering sextortion, CSAM, which is child sex abuse material and sexual exploitation, and then their knowledge of the harm and underage use and their lack of action. So all that to say, again, no, I am absolutely not rejoicing at all with these TikTok's new parental controls. It used to be 5 years ago when TikTok first came out, first became popular during the COVID lockdowns, you know, hey, they did have parental controls. And that was more than any other platform had. It was more than Instagram had, more than Snapchat, any of them. And so there was a point in time where I was like, hey, well, I have to give TikTok some credit. At least they, you know, have put parental controls. At least you can pair it. At least parents can kind of see it. And I mean, I still will give them some credit, but it's, again, it can still be worked around with the savviest of teens, is they do block direct messages for users under the age of 16. So again, you put your actual real date of birth in, you're going to be blocked from direct messages from perverts or creeps or anybody else that you just don't want communication from. But again, that's not what kids do. They put in the age where they're not going to have any restrictions. Now, TikTok does say they're going to continue using AI, sort of age verification. Again, I maybe they are, and I would love to see it. I'm fine with it. I'm not against that, but I just don't think that they really are. I think that's, again, is part of the PR hoax that they are putting out there. And let me just note, I'm not the only one who is kind of like lashing back at TikTok saying this is all a big joke. You don't really care about teens. Tatiana Jordan, who is the chief safety officer at Bark. Now, Bark Technologies puts out the parental control software that runs in the background of your child's phone or device and then alerts you of dangerous or concerning content or music, something they may be listening to. I mean, it gives you talking points on how you can have that conversation with your kid. It's a great, great program, great software. I definitely recommend it. Well, she highlights in an Instagram reel, which I didn't actually see the Instagram reel, but I read several articles that talked about the Instagram reel, that she goes on a rant basically saying, no, they have not fixed the problem, the original problem of being able to get around the family pairing, the parental controls as a whole, right? So she created an account as an under 16-year-old. She tried to pair it as a family, and then immediately within a few clicks, she was able to completely get around all of the restrictions. So none of the features work that they're touting if the kids can get around the family pairing. If you can't say parents to your parents' account, you're not. Now, granted, you have a child who actually respects and fears your rules and discipline, and they're going to not get around the family pairing, well, then great. These features might work. I still would say that they don't need TikTok because there really isn't anything redeeming about it at all. But nonetheless, this is just proves the point again that TikTok does not care. Their intent is not for these parental controls to work, or that they would actually decrease engagement. That is not actually their goal. This is just PR. They want you to feel good about the fact that they just put them out there, that they're talking about them and give the, you know, kind of a facade that they care about it. But I had said years ago that Instagram wants your soul. And they still might, right? I don't necessarily put that past Mark Zuckerberg, but TikTok absolutely does. I mean, if you really think about it, they don't care about your children. They don't care about their soul. They don't care about their salvation. They don't care about their future trajectory. What they care about is their attention. And TikTok wants their soul. They literally want them to be consumed with this content, heart, mind, body, spirit. They want them consumed with this app. Why? Because they are driven by money. They're driven by power. They're driven by dominance. That's what they want. And by making, really, I think American teens sort of like the laughing stock of the world, they're trying to create these, I don't know, maybe this is their goal, these like dopamine-driven, content-controlled shells of human beings who cannot think, they cannot produce, they cannot defend themselves, and thus they just become prime for capture. Maybe later when they're all adults and America is no longer ruling the free world. I don't know, right? But ultimately, they do not care about teens in the slightest, and we need to understand that. I mean, when I talk about money, let me just give you a quote I just read today. This article just came out today. TikTok could make $32 billion or more in ad revenue in 2025. That's how much they are up to make just with the American industry that they have, $32 billion. Let me remind you what Matthew 6:24 says. You cannot love God and money. You're going to hate one, or you'll love one and despise the other. If you love money, you're going to be bent on making the largest profit humanly possible, because that's what the love of money drives you to do. And so you're going to do that through maximum engagement. You are not going to actually care about the human being, about the soul of that person that you are captivating, that you are taking advantage of, that you are exploiting. You are not going to care about that person, right? So you can't love money and also care about God's image bearers. You just can't do both. That is biblical, and it is true no matter what situation you look at across the history of time. And so that's what we as parents need to be reminded of. And just hopefully that drives you. That drives you, motivates you, and encourages you to continue doing the hard work of monitoring, of limiting, of delaying access to all of this, even when you get so much pushback, even when you're the only one walking alone on the narrow road. It is still worthy effort to just remain faithful in doing what you feel is absolutely right in the long run for your children, because no one else is going to do that except for you. All right, I have one more story about TikTok, and I just love it, that I've got to share. We got to talk about this. The University of West Virginia football coach. I love this headline. Maybe you've seen it. His name is Rich Rodriguez. And he, I think, has a lesson that is beautiful for all of us in parenting. He is in his second year of head coach of coaching the Mountaineers football program. And he has now banned his players from dancing on TikTok. According to multiple news outlets, he says this quote, "They're going to be on it, so I'm not banning them from it. I'm just banning them from dancing on it." He says, it's like, look, we try to have a hard edge or whatever, and you're in there in your tights dancing on TikTok. That ain't quite the image of our program that I want. I love it. I absolutely love it. He said that he talked to his players about the tendency in society to emphasize the individual over the team. Yes and amen. That is exactly what society is doing, because that is what these social media platforms are doing, is they're emphasizing the individual and worshiping of self, which we know, like, you care about yourself, you generate pride. These are the things that God hates. And we exist to glorify him and him alone. We are not to make much of ourselves, right? Romans warns us that we ought to not think highly of ourselves. And not only that, Romans 1 tells us when we worship the creature, us, versus the creator, we deceive ourselves. We have depraved minds and we claim to be wise, but we become fools. Romans 1. And in my opinion, fools are who are dancing on TikTok, right? You wouldn't hate me for that comment, but for what? Why are we posting dances on TikTok? For superficial validation, likes? I mean, I know people will argue against me because I take this kind of hard and fast stance against it and say, yeah, but it's just for fun. What's wrong with doing it for fun? Yeah, you can create the dances. You can record it on your phone. Only reason that you are hosting this to a global platform is because you want likes, right? Search your heart. There is no other reason to publicly, globally share something like that. If you think it's funny, dance for in front of your phone and then go send it to your closest friends who know you and will laugh and or make fun of you. And you don't have the global affirmation of the world that is going to build pride. And this coach knows this. This coach is like, hey, in order to actually win football games, number one, we need to be a team and not focus on building up our own platforms and our pride. But number two, he knows you need humility. And if you're dancing on TikTok, that you're not even putting content out there that's valuable for anything. It's not edifying. It doesn't train or teach or glorify God in any way. It's just silly entertainment. Okay, let me continue lest I rant on that a little bit more. Coach Rodriguez says, now parents, this is it. Parents, listen to this. I love it. He says, quote, I am allowed to do this. I can have rules. Yes, 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 you can. And guess what? Parents, you can too. You can have rules in your home. You can do this. You can have rules for your children. It's not unloving to have rules that protect your children and help them develop a higher moral and ethical standard. It's not unloving to have rules that help build character, such as humility, such as kindness, such as respect. Those are all things that transcend any sort of popularity or superficial likes. So yes, you can say no to TikTok in your home. You can say no to social media until they're 16. You can say no to a smartphone until they're in high school or 18, whatever you want. You can do this. You can set the rules. I'm not sure where the lie started from and really has just become believed and perpetuated that rules are unloving. Honestly, I think that they came from the kids themselves. And somehow this idea of gentle parenting was born and, you know, rules have all of a sudden become bad and patriarchal. And that is not the case. Biblically, we are charged as parents to discipline our children because children's hearts are bound in folly. And if we do not create rules and structure and care about who they are growing up to be, care about the long-term trajectory instead of the immediate gratification, even if when they're like sitting in front of us and they're crying and whining and I just have to have this or I have no friends, we have to have rules that we stick by. We have to have commitments that we stick by because we reap what we sow. And if we are sowing in darkness, we will reap destruction. If we sow in the flesh and the immediate gratification, we will reap destruction. Our children will reap the destruction. But then we're going to have to watch it as adults when they are trying to grow up and be successful young adults. Now, but if we sow to please the Spirit, to glorify God, we reap eternal life. That's Galatians 6:8. And then Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that is the encouragement that we all need today. We will reap a harvest when we do not give up as parents from having rules and holding to them, having a media standard, holding to it, knowing that no one cares about our children more than us, other than God, right? These tech companies don't care, don't listen to whatever parental controls and all the things they boast that these apps are building healthy, balanced habits. Garbage, they are not. So keep fighting for your children. They will thank you. They will thank you at one point because they will realize that you cared more about their future than their immediate gratification. And that is what they need. They need someone to do what they cannot do. They can't see the future. You can. So they will thank you. I promise you. So be brave and do the hard work. Keep on keeping on and keep banning TikTok from your home. All right. That's my final word. Thank you so much for listening. Listen, if you haven't left us a review, I would just love it so much if you would leave us a review wherever you listen to a podcast. Share it with a friend. It's how other people find the podcast. There's reviews, the 5 stars, you know, all those superficial things. That's what the algorithms use to deliver the content to other Christian parents so they too can have a biblical approach to media and technology. So thank you so much for listening, everyone. May God bless you. And until next time, go and be brave.